On this week's episode, we tell you why humans owe turkeys an apology, and I'm reminded that these men are just boys.
Sorry.
As you should be, Antonio. As you should be. But first, before the episode, support for today's show comes from Advantage Financial Federal Credit Union. Interested in becoming a homeowner? Come to a home buyer's workshop at 10 a.m. on Saturday, March 9th. It's located in the lobby of 1200 First Street Northeast in D.C. Come for mimosas and stay for mortgages. Go to advfcu.org/pod for details. That's /POD for details.
Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into episode number 313 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Antonio.
Welcome back, Antonio. Welcome back, Nick. We've invited you both back because we think you both are great.
Well, thank you.
You both passed the vote.
Awesome.
You've slept 30 minutes as the giraffes in the meantime.
Maybe.
Cool. Well, we have more facts. We have more interesting facts. Just a reminder that if you take the secret phrase right at the bottom of your music round, you get 5 bonus points just for listening and being awesome. And then also we'll turn all of the facts into questions, too. So you listen up and you head to a district trivia or Bridgetown trivia or a lot of our other.
Or Old Line trivia.
Or Old Line trivia. Any of those awesome venues.
What's up, Baltimore?
Yeah. You will get points, and that is how the podcast works. And if you don't live anywhere near those places, you just get some interesting facts you can impress your friends with at the office.
Cooler talk.
Yeah, cooler talk. Do people still have water coolers? I don't know how offices work, real
we
offices
We did back
work.
At the Pentagon office, not at the current office at JBAB, though.
Are you allowed to sell us that the Pentagon has water coolers?
Oh, gosh, probably the most mundane, banal fact that we have about that place.
Oh, well, I've heard about the hot dog stand.
Oh, actually, it's now an Einstein Bros.
A what?
It's an Einstein Bros shop now.
I like bagels, but I love hot dogs.
Yeah, it's no longer a hot dog stand. It used to be back in like the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, because that's where they targeted everything, I believe.
Ground zero.
Yeah. Anyway, so I was just thinking about hot dogs. I'm hungry, as per usual.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Okay, so we kicked off last week with a birthday-related fact. Michael, I think that I'd like you to go first today.
I can do that.
Only because I'm looking right at you.
Mine is a pretty straightforward fact.
Yes, it's... Yeah, I want to hear it. I was just going to compliment your hair because Michael got new shampoo, and I want to know that it's a good shampoo.
I'm not going to lie. The first time I used it, it was stolen from my roommate, but it worked well, so I went and bought my own bottle.
Oh, all right. All right, well, it's working.
Yeah, appreciate
so that's,
that.
So that's
I
why
hope
you,
my roommates aren't listening to this episode.
Yeah, your shampoo has earned you the right to go first.
Wonderful. Let's hope my fact backs it up. So, my question is pretty straightforward. What is the only U.S. state that doesn't have a mandatory seatbelt law?
So which U.S. state is the only one to not have a mandatory seatbelt law? Okay.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Mississippi.
Okay.
Okay, Mississippi. Any reasoning? Or
the reason why I say that is because it's also the only state, fun fact, that you are allowed to drink and drive as long as your BAC stays below 0.08.
What?
Oh, I don't know if that's necessarily a fun fact.
Not a fun fact, but just that's the reason why I figured either Mississippi or maybe Louisiana, because Louisiana is known for having very loose traffic laws.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's a thing in Louisiana.
Loose traffic laws?
No. The drinking and driving thing.
No, I just know that they used to have the drive-through daiquiris.
Oh.
For some reason, I'm like leaning toward Montana, like some place where it's like desolate and, you know, there's not a lot of people, so they're like, we don't need to, we don't have to worry about that. I'm throwing it out there.
Okay, that makes sense, right? If you're less likely to be involved in a drunk driving accident with other people involved, if it's just you on a desolate road.
You might get measles, but you won't get.
What are you getting measles for?
Isn't the measles outbreak out
there? That's in Washington.
And okay. Oregon.
Those are different than Montana.
Okay, well, kind of close.
I guess, yeah.
I didn't pay attention in a lot of classes. Guys, if you're listening to this, I am the one that is the least smart in the room. Although,
that's not true.
That is absolutely not true.
You have to believe in yourself. You are very knowledgeable at a very specific group of things, and I need your confidence to be higher.
Okay.
So the maybe bravado. Montana is right. Is it right?
It's not right. No.
Is Mississippi right?
No, Mississippi is not
okay,
right.
Okay, so now I have a 1 in 48 chance.
Yeah.
Sweating it.
You can do it. Take it down, Lindsay.
I have no idea. I think that both of your logic makes sense, right? You're known for looser traffic laws. That's known for... That makes sense. I want to say Nevada because a lot of things are legal there, but also... I feel like I would have remembered if I would have been worried about people drinking and driving around like the Vegas Strip and things, but we were also drinking in party buses and things. But I feel like
to
Nevada
be clear,
has a lot
this
of
is the seatbelt law, not anything to do with
it. Oh, sorry. I was thinking that you were asking about the drinking thing.
No.
My brain got mixed up there.
Oh, good.
I am very hungry. Okay, so this is the seatbelt law.
Yes.
I'm going to still say Nevada.
Okay. It's not Nevada either.
Dang.
Do we want to do a second round or should I just tell you?
No, we'll do a second round. Let's go. Okay. What is our hint? Give us a hint. And now that I also understand the question, that's going to be helpful for me.
Definitely.
Let's see. A hint. Other than the fact it's the only one. it ties in very well with their state motto.
It ties in well with their state
motto. I know.
Motto.
Oh, okay. I think I just gave it away for Antonio. Give it a shot.
New Hampshire, live free or die.
That is correct. New Hampshire, live free or die.
Oh, wow.
New Hampshire is the only one that does not have a state seatbelt law.
That was an excellent clue.
Yeah.
That was a really, really good clue. Thank you. Well done, Michael. Cool.
Yep.
Awesome. My fact is not any way segueable from that. So either of you gentlemen have a nice segue?
I do.
Ooh, okay.
So whereas that one makes sense, New Hampshire's state motto being live free or die, no seatbelt law, mine, on the other hand, is going to really, really shock you. Anybody want to guess what the most aggressive dog breed is?
Pitbull.
No.
Doberman.
Chihuahua. Wow. Wow.
Lindsay, I guess?
I don't like to think of dogs as aggressive.
I've always, in my experience, and I've grew up with especially large dogs.
Yes, I love bears and dogs.
Aggressive dogs is a bad owner, essentially.
Yeah.
Like somebody that's not being able to train and control their dog. That's an issue with the owner. It's never an issue with the dog.
Yeah, but some breeds tend to be...
They were bred that way, though. Like, especially when you talk, like when you get into the Michael Vick stuff. I mean, some of those dogs were bred to fight.
Right, and some just have that genetic predisposition to, you know, like my brother has a German short-haired pointer, and those dogs are, you know, that they need to be active. You know that they'll become mischievous. And I was like, how do you have a mischievous dog? And then I met Chewy, and he's a mischievous. Right.
And then you get
mofo.
The dogs that are very territorial as well. Like,
yeah, yeah. But so, what's the most aggressive dog breed? Is your question? I love big dogs because I think that big dogs don't know that they're big, so they think that they're small, and they think they can get up on the couch, and it's like you are 4,000 pounds. No. So I think that it's going to be a smaller dog breed because I think smaller dogs tend to be a little bit more aggressive. So I'm going to say like a Pomeranian.
No, I mean, you are right about being a smaller breed. And Chihuahua, you were actually close. Chihuahuas are the second most aggressive breed.
Good job.
Second most aggressive
breed.
They're
evil. They really are. No offense to anyone.
I agree. I'm all with the Samoyeds, those big, white, fluffy cuddle bugs.
What? I want to go back to this. Why do you hate Chihuahuas so much?
No, one of my ex's best friends had a Chihuahua named Chunk, and the thing was just vicious. And they would, I mean, even in its good nature, it still would be like, you're like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like,
whoa, Chunk, jeez, calm down.
It was like he was the size of my like two fists put together, and like this thing is just ferocious. It was like a lion.
Chunk scarred you, and I'm upset that you're basing your whole feelings on Chihuahuas on this one
I
dog.
I grew to love the dog, but you know, anyone that first met this dog knows how ferocious this little dog was.
Don't put all the Chihuahuas all together. Well, okay. No, you're right, though, because it is the second most aggressive breed. So
it's science, okay.
Science, yeah.
Right, but the real question is, which is the first most aggressive? It would be very surprising because I've never really seen them act out before, and they're so cute and so, like...
That's why I said Pomeranian, so I thought it would be surprising.
Is it the dachshund? Is it the weirdo dog?
Yeah, you got it.
Really?
It's the dachshund.
Really?
Yes, really. They were actually... Dachshund literally is German for badger dog. They were bred to go underground and fight badgers.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Badger dog?
Yes. It literally is German for badger dog. Like, dachshunds were actually bred to be fighting dogs.
Next sport, I don't care. I don't care what I'm playing. I want my nickname to be badger dog. That's awesome.
Badger dog. Go in there and get him.
Wow. Antonio, that's really good. That's a good fact.
Thank you.
Cool. Well done. Now you know. So where is this source coming from? Like, who made this aggressive dog breed? Or like, how are they determining this study?
So I read this. It was from it was an article in the Telegraph, the British tabloid, of course. And it was referencing the study. I can actually pull it up right now, see what it is.
So it's referencing a study by, we don't know.
Not really sure. But I've seen it in multiple sources, though.
Oh, cool. No, I believe you. And I'm sure that Google will back us up, or Bing. You know, we're not. And now I'm looking at dachshund and puppy pictures, and so I'm out. So you guys handle the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, no, Lindsay's,
see ya.
Lindsay's
I'm gone.
Checked out.
We know how I feel about animal gifts.
Well, you ever seen the Golden Doxies, the mixed breed between the Golden Retriever and the Dachshund?
Oh, all right. Again, I'm leaving the podcast right now. Oh, man. Well, I can actually segue pretty well. I can segue pretty well from you. And this wasn't the original fact I was going to have, but I'm gonna make it in. So dogs are bred to be domesticated. This is over, you know, thousands of years. And like you said, they're bred for certain qualities and things.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with turkeys and our food today.
Really?
Yeah. So turkeys were bred for a really long time to.
Who gets that job?
Well, here's my
turkey breeder?
Mike Rowe.
Poke him with a stick.
Well, this was before science advances of artificial insemination, right? So if you're a farmer, you have to pick, okay, here's my strongest turkeys or whatever. And for turkeys, obviously the breast's the big thing because that's what you eat. That's the most valuable meat of the turkey, right? So my question to you now. He's like, you're giggling. Like, you should have gave the dirty
sex. We all heard it. I think we were just ignoring it.
I'm just trying to figure out how, you know, obviously they have to get the seed from the turkey. Like, who, like, that would be, you ever seen a turkey? They're like the meanest things ever. Like, you would have to sedate.
They are mean birds.
Yeah. You
it should have been our national bird if you talked to Ben Franklin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, my question to you. So you're looking at commercially bred turkey, right? The turkeys that you get for Thanksgiving, you know, whatever you're eating, turkey, deli meat, whatever. Mm-hmm. What percentage of commercial turkeys are artificially inseminated? So that means they don't mate naturally, right? They're inseminated, which is pretty common in commercial livestock. So what percentage of turkeys are artificially inseminated? Commercial turkeys.
How did you come up with this fact? I mean,
it's a long, windy story.
I'm going to be mortified now.
Don't check the search history.
I don't. I would guess more than half. So 60%.
60%.
I'm gonna say more like 80.
80.
I mean, I was gonna say like 70. Like, this is the second time we're just like, wow. Those guesses sound good. I'll take them.
Turkeys are pretty frisky. I don't know.
Yeah. So. It is 100%.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Oh. So basically all of the commercial turkeys that you would find and eat that have been artificially inseminated. And here is the bonus fact, your bonus fact. Turkeys are the only commercial livestock species completely dependent upon artificial insemination for fertile egg production. So chickens, cows, et cetera, nobody else, but it's just turkeys that are completely dependable. Like, we wouldn't have turkeys if this technology didn't exist. Or we would, but not at the level that we have.
Not the volume.
The volume, that's the word. Mm.
So if you wanted to have a turkey that wasn't artificially inseminated, you know, you'd have to go to a farm and watch it and hope for the best. I mean, you can't get like an all natural, made the old-fashioned way with a wink-wink.
Well, so the farm, this goes back to the other thing, and you're going to giggle because I'm going to say breast again. Right. Get your giggles out, boys. Breast. Oh, my goodness.
Two of them.
Well, so turkeys were bred to have larger breasts because that's obviously the main meat function. Mm-hmm. So they bred them so much that the turkey breasts got so large that the turkeys couldn't mate.
I love that Hargister just had a birthday and he's still 13 years old.
Yeah, yep. Happy birthday.
13 going on 38.
Yeah. So they selectively have bred them over the years to have bigger and bigger breasts so that when it came time for the male turkey to naturally reproduce, his massive breasts prevented him from getting close enough to complete the act.
Oh, wait, okay. That's actually really interesting.
Yeah. That's hence why I'm bringing it onto this podcast, because you need some explanation. You can't just insert that into a regular night of trivia.
Right. No, you need that background.
Yeah. So the only breed that is 100% and completely dependent on artificial insemination. So thank you, science, and thank you to whoever does those jobs.
Also, like, not only thank you, science, but, like, because of what we've done to turkeys.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We are the cause and effect.
Exactly.
So turkeys can't hug?
Turkeys can't hug.
That's the secret phrase right there, guys. Turkeys can't hug.
Yeah.
Turkeys can't hug.
Turkeys can't hug, and it's all our fault. You know? It's just like the we never stop to ask if we should. We knew we can, but we never stopped to ask.
I think we owe the turkeys an apology as a species.
Yeah. So.
Oh, my goodness.
So So, yeah. And also, by the way, if you do want to be an artificial inseminator, that's like a job, right? People go around and they impregnate large animals, right? That's a very, very lucrative field. Like, you're making six plus figures. So
here's my question. We could do this with turkeys, but we can't do this with pandas.
Oh, don't even get me started about pandas and their
panda breasts.
Apathetic views on sex. So, I think it's ridiculous. Pandas, get it together. Get it together.
Okay, for anybody that missed it, secret phrase, yes, turkeys can't hug.
Turkeys can't hug. What's the secret phrase?
Turkeys can't hug.
Turkeys can't hug.
Turkeys can't hug.
Turkeys can't hug, and pandas can't.
Brown chicken. Okay. Brown.
No, it's not they can't, they won't.
So that was my fact, and I'm going to toss it up to whoever's got a segue next.
Speaking of turkey reproduction and and driving without a seatbelt, obviously I do my share.
You're flying blind? No, just kidding.
Obviously I do my fair share of drinking, which can create those kind of possibilities. But I've been, you know, being it's January, February, I'm working, you know, on drinking less of the really potent beers that put on the pounds, you know. So I was thinking the other day, what would be the best, what's the most low-calorie beer out there on the market?
Oh.
Because it seems like it would be very easy to be like, oh, it's this, but technically it's this. And
I have a couple thoughts.
Mm-hmm. You bet you do.
Yeah.
I think I know. Michelob Ultra?
Yeah, I was going to say Ultra.
That's what everyone thinks, and it's not.
There's what is the calorie count in a Michelob Ultra?
A Michelob Ultra has 95 calories per serving.
95 calories per serving. And what's a serving's a can? 12 ounces?
12 ounces. Maybe 8 standard? Ounces.
Yes. Maybe. I don't know. Yes. I don't have the information, but.
Okay.
I'd assume it's. I think you're right. I'd assume one can.
Yes. One can.
So 12 ounces.
Yes. Because that's what it would be on the label.
12 ounces of regular beer as a serving size. Mm-hmm. One standard drink or alcoholic drink equivalent. 14 grams of pure alcohol. 14 ounces of regular beer. 12% alcohol. Well, who knew? And distilled spirits, 40% alcohol. Anyway, that's not your fact.
No,
okay,
it's not.
So it's not Michelob Ultra.
It's not Michelob. Is it any of the...
Is this a well-known brand?
Mm-hmm.
Is it any of the college light beers, Bud Light, Coors Light, Miller Light?
Yes, you could call it that.
No. Specifically the light beers, like the blue cans.
Yes, it's one of the... It's okay. A variation of one of the... most popular beers.
So it's not like Miller Lite.
Actually, Miller Lite is on the list. It is my favorite beer to go party drinking. It's number six.
Number six. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to say like Bud Ice maybe.
You're very close.
Bud Ice? Okay. If I'm thinking of beer that is the most watered down that I've obviously consumed, I got to go Natty Light.
Oh my God. You are very close as well. That is just a step below.
So I'm number
Miller
two.
Light.
I got number two.
That's number five.
Number five. Oh man.
No, Keystone. We're gonna go through it here. Number four is Amstel Light.
Okay.
Oh.
Number three is Michelob Ultra.
Mm.
Number two is Miller 64.
Oh. 64 calories.
Yes.
Is that what that stands? I've never heard of Miller.
And
64.
Then Budweiser Select 55. God bless my sister's heart. She drinks this. It tastes awful. But it is 55 calories, which is basically half of like, you know, a 90 calorie beer. Almost.
I don't know. I'm an IPA guy, so like, you know, I like those really big, thick, heavy beers.
Huh.
So if you're trying to lose weight, this is basically the Weight Watchers beer, Budweiser Select 55. And you like the taste of water with a little malt in it.
Huh.
All right, then.
Okay.
55. So someone's going to come up with something less, and it'll be like, you know, Miller Lite 36.
Well, I've been on a big... I've been on a big seltzer kick because those are very low calories and they make me feel healthier, but they're, you know.
Are those good, though?
I love them. I love them. And sometimes if you need a little extra kick, you can put some vodka directly in the seltzers. Oh, yeah. I'm not recommending you do that. I'm not recommending you don't do that.
We don't know either podcast.
Yes. Yeah. Please issue the disclaimer.
But can you taste the booze in them? Or does it just taste like
vodka,
soda?
I'd imagine.
Well, I know. I'm wondering because there's pre-mixed drinks, and sometimes they don't really taste like a regular mixed drink. You know, usually under a mixed drink, you can taste the booze.
I don't think so.
So, no. So, they're actually pretty addictive, I would bet.
I have crushed some six-packs myself. So
are they the same content, like same ABV as
like
a
4%-ish, 4 to 5%-ish.
Okay.
And they're good. I would recommend seltzers. Please sponsor me, seltzers. Come find me. Did you do your fact?
I did.
Did you do your fact?
Yes, I did.
You did your
fact. We got all four.
Oh, okay, great. I would like to segue then from your fact about calories to a bonus, weirdly relevant animal-related fact as we wrap up the show.
Okay.
So you're talking about calories, and that's also about like the viscosity of the beer, right? Of how thick it is. Like the Guinness and the IPAs, you think those are thick. I'm assuming, I've never had this Budweiser Select, but assuming it's very watery.
Very watery.
Very thin.
Yes.
So this bonus fact comes from one of our listeners and longtime trivia players, Melanie. Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey,
Melanie. You are awesome. So thank you for helping me out with this fact. And she sent me this really interesting thing about animals and milk. And so I'd like to know which animal has the highest percentage of fat in the milk, in their milk.
Well, based on my experience, no.
Yeah, so I'd like to know the animal with the highest percent of milk fat.
Actually, I think I know this one.
You know it?
I think. I think it's a yak.
A yak is not correct.
Never mind.
I am going with the party llama.
The party llama.
Yes.
The regular llama is not on the list, and neither is the party animal.
No
llama.
Party llama?
No. You can logic your way through to this answer.
Well, okay, what's the fattest animal?
Well, what is fat? How is fat relevant and useful in the animal kingdom? How would an animal use
to
fat? What animal would benefit from
keep
having
warm?
To keep warm?
Okay.
Polar bear?
No. What are other animals that are found in the cold?
I keep thinking about like a mastodon.
What about a walrus?
A walrus, you're kind of on the right track now. What other Arctic animals are there?
Whale, but no. That's not furry.
You don't need to be totally furry. This animal is not
furry. Does whale have a milk? I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the whale has milk. Specifically, 34% fat. So that's a very good guess.
34%. Oh, my God. This is killing me here.
It's going to be one of those things she's going to say we're all going to go.
50%. Oh. You ready?
I'm
bring it.
Yeah. Ready.
It is a seal.
A seal.
Specifically the hooded seal.
See, told you we'd do it.
Yeah. So the 60% fat and milk for the hooded seal, which is insane.
Doesn't taste that way.
You've had seal milk?
Well, you know.
For the record, human milk is like 3 to 5%.
It's a little salty.
Oh, my gosh. 3 to 5% for human milk and cow, sheep, goat milks all around the 3 to 7 to 8-ish percent. But, yeah, these seals, 60%, they obviously need it to keep warm because they're in the North Atlantic and the Arctic Ocean. So here's my bonus question.
A bonus question.
Bonus. And I have another third bonus.
Oh, geez.
How many pounds of milk a day do a seal pup eat?
Oh, okay. Mm.
So they're like pounds of milk.
I'm going to say at least 10.
It is over 10.
So I'll go with 11.
11, yeah.
12. $1.
16 pounds.
16 pounds?
16 pounds.
Yes, 16 pounds of milk a day. They seal pups. And I also like that they call them pups. It's a very full circle from your factory there. I do not know how aggressive they are.
Actually, though, they do say that that seals are the dogs of the sea. I mean, because apparently, like, you know, the seal pups are really, like, you know, cute and cuddly. And, like, even the adults... For some species, they're actually really friendly.
Yeah, well, they're called pups.
How many fish would it have to eat to produce that much milk?
It's a lot.
That's a lot
of especially with their pups. You got to get that fat on quick. So I'd imagine, like,
that's a lot of milk.
Yeah. Melanie was saying that the National Zoo runs an event where you can go and taste the different types of milk, which I definitely want to keep an eye out for. That would be really fun. My last, final bonus fact. Final of the day. Which animal has the lowest percentage of fat? This is the skimmest milk fat, I guess, if you will.
I'm going to go ahead and try to logic this.
Oh, okay.
So if high milk fat is for the animals that need a lot, like what's the leanest animal? Cheetah.
Now, is this
I'm thinking one of these really fast cats.
Is this animal or like mammals?
This is... Well, mammals are animals.
Well, I mean, is like, are human beings, can they be included in this?
Human beings are mammals, so yes, they'd be included, but it's 0.2%
okay.
fat.
And I think you said
humans are like
3 to 5.
Yep.
Mm.
Yep.
Can't do party llama again.
Can't do party llama, nope.
I mean, that's my thought is just, okay, so you need a really lean animal at this point.
Mm-hmm. And I would give you the hint that it doesn't reproduce very often. And that's a big part of it. They have long pregnancies that last over a year. They give birth to only one calf at a time. And they spend a very long time nursing their young.
Okay, so cheetah's not correct then. Yeah.
So I'm thinking like an elephant.
You're kind of in the right zone, but elephant's not correct. But you're kind of in the right zone. A rhino is correct, yeah.
A rhino?
Yeah, the black rhinoceros is the skimmest milk on the fat spectrum, 0.2% fat, super slow reproductive cycle, and they're the opposite of seals. So, And all these, you know, the milk's different. Everything. So,
and you get to try these out at the zoo. What day?
I don't know. I will reach out to the zoo and let everybody know. But we did my high school. I was not on this team, but our dairy judging team did win a lot of awards. So you can go like compete and different taste tests, different animals' milk. So everybody's got their thing.
I missed that in 4-H. I'm sorry.
It was an FFA.
So you're from Pennsylvania, right?
I am.
Are you from like central Pennsylvania?
Like eastern central. Part. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's a good time, PA. Holla at you. All right. Well, we're going to wrap up this episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast. We learned a lot today. We went on a lot of adventures, and we appreciate all of you.
TMI.
TMI.
Never too much information.
If you're a turkey and you can't hug,
not on this
sorry
podcast.
About that.
Sorry, turkeys.
Sorry. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Antonio.
We don't know either.
See you.